It was Christmas Day, just before noon. The turkey was in the oven, and the aroma was beginning to fill the house when Arthur M. Art Cummings, the second, received a call on his BlackBerry. The FBI command center told him to call back on his secure phone. When he did, he learned that a passenger aboard Northwest Airlines Flight 253, which was on its final approach to Detroit from Amsterdam, had tried to detonate explosives as the airliner entered U.S. airspace. As the FBI's Executive Assistant Director for National Security, Cummings, 50, ran both counterterrorism and counterintelligence for the Bureau. He was the official directly responsible for detecting and thwarting terrorist plots and espionage by other countries. Few in the U.S. government knew as many secrets. For Cummings, hunting terrorists was a battle of wits. He was the predator, the terrorists his prey. Had a terrorist eluded him? Could he trust the information he was getting? Had he missed a clue? These were the things that kept him awake at night as he directed the FBI's transformation from an agency that emphasizes prosecutions to one that focuses on prevention of plots before they happen. To ping in on terrorists, Cummings talked daily with Tactical Operations, a super-secret unit of FBI break-in artists who conduct court-authorized burglaries in homes, offices, and embassies to plant hidden microphones and video cameras and snoop into computers. Besides terrorists, the targets may be mafia figures, corrupt members of Congress, spies, or intelligence officers of Russia and China. When conducting covert entries, TAC Ops tranquilizes guard dogs and may stage fake traffic accidents, traffic stops, or utility breakdowns to waylay occupants and security personnel. To conceal agents as they defeat locks and alarm systems, it creates false fronts to houses and fake bushes that hide agents. If caught breaking in, TAC Ops agents are in danger of being shot by occupants who think they are burglars. Besides hunting down Al-Qaeda, Cummings had to contend with bureaucratic rivalries. The New York City police broke a promise to the FBI and jumped the gun in the case of Najibullah Zazi, who had plotted to blow up New York City subways for Al-Qaeda. The Department of Homeland Security could not manage its own immigration responsibilities, yet it tried to become involved in a range of counterterrorism decisions that were the purview of the FBI. Then there was the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, an agency that often got in the way and produced little of value to the FBI. In addition to bureaucratic infighting, Cummings had to deal with requests that could compromise the independence of the FBI. After announcing its decision to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in New York City, the Justice Department asked Cummings to prepare an assessment of the security threat that such a trial would pose there. Cummings resisted. He figured such an assessment from the FBI would be used for political purposes by both Democrats and Republicans. In any case, he thought the New York idea, which he believed was irresponsible, would never be carried out. The effort by Obama administration officials to publicly use euphemisms such as man-caused disasters to refer to terrorism, or to avoid the terms Islamist or jihadist in describing the enemy, galled Cummings. Terrible, terrible, is the way Cummings described those ideas. Of course Islamists dominate the terrorism of today, he says. On the other hand, Cummings had no problem with the desire of both the Obama and Bush administrations to read terrorists their rights. He believed that in most cases, the FBI could obtain the intelligence it needed to stop future plots by remaining within the framework of the legal system, including by administering Miranda warnings. The trick was to confront suspects before they were in custody, give them incentives to talk, and establish rapport. Cummings himself was a genius at getting bad people to incriminate themselves. A master of eye contact, Cummings has a receding hairline that emphasizes the intensity of his gaze. His magnetic blue eyes direct energy toward his listener. It's all about parrying with the adversary, Cummings says. How many crumbs did he leave, and how many can I pick up? How do I get to the answer? How do I get to what's really happening? There are so many different ways to do it, but the best way by far is sitting across the table from someone. The best thing is when you're sinking your fangs into his neck and he's smiling while you do it because you convince him that what he's doing is in his best interest, when in fact it absolutely is not.